The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Live from MMA Fighting Studios, this is Between the Links. And now, your host, Mike Heck.
The iconic voice of Esther Lynn welcomes you to a very special edition of Between the Links here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. No, we are not video this week. Yes, I am on vacation this week, but I couldn't leave you guys hanging because it's a very exciting time in the world of mixed martial arts, and I know there's not a lot of events going on. We do have the Bellator versus Rising card coming up on New Year's Eve. The UFC calendar year has come to a close, and you may be thinking to yourself, why is it so exciting? Why is this an exciting time? It's because it's award season here in the world of mixed martial arts, and here at MMAfighting.com, we take this very, very seriously. So what we're doing for the third year in a row, we're doing our annual year-end awards preview show here on Between the Links. I am Mike Heck, and joining me, it's just an honor and a privilege once again to be reunited with my best friend, fellow co-host of On to the Next One, the mind, one of the minds behind the MMA Fighting Global Rankings, the only rankings that matters. The man just does it all. Mr. Alexander K. Lee. Happy holidays, AK.
Hello, my best friend. Amazing to hear from you. Everyone is always asking me, where's Mike? Where is Mike? And I just, you know, I don't want to reveal your exact location. I told them I had to send you an emergency at no point. I told people, don't ask questions. I don't know what he needs it for. I know he's been partying pretty hard out there. I said you might have gotten up some White Lotus-esque shenanigans. But again, it's purely speculation. Did not want to, you know, make any statements here or there. But I'm glad you're doing okay. People have been hearing from you, and great episode of Heck of a Morning we had this week. And the people are excited, Mike. They're excited to have you back.
Well, it's good. I'm not really back, but I'm back for this.
Yes.
I'll be traveling. Florida Mike will be making an appearance in a few days. So I'm very excited for that, even though they're calling for the coldest temperatures ever in Florida for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and some of the days following. So not really looking forward to that, but you know, sometimes you just need to detach ourselves from the wonderful world of mixed martial arts, but we can't completely detach ourselves. So what we're going to do is we are going to give our top five nominees for the awards we're going to be giving away starting Christmas Day. The awards we're going to be giving away are for the Fight of the Year, Knockout of the Year, Submission of the Year, Fighter of the Year, and the Rookie of the Year, AK. And I know, just to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit, there's been kind of a conversation about that Rookie of the Year award. Do we continue doing Rookie of the Year, or do we go back to the Breakthrough or Breakout Fighter of the Year? Because when we did my first year doing awards in MMA fighting, we did the Breakout Fighter of the Year. It went to Khamzat Chimaev, and people were pissed. People are calling for my resignation because I wrote that article, even though I voted for Kevin Holland to win Breakout Fighter of the Year over Khamzat Chimaev. People were not happy about that, and we decided, you know what? Maybe we just take all of that out of play, and we'll just do Rookie of the Year, where we take a fighter who signed with a major promotion in that year, and it could be UFC, Bellator, PFL, what have you, and we would vote based on that. For the second straight year doing Rookie of the Year, how do you feel about this? Are you okay with this, or were you on team? Let's just go back to Breakout.
I will say it worked out better this year. I was much more in favor of Breakout for the longest time. I just feel it gives you more options. I think it leads to more exciting things that you can write about. Again, with respect to Casey O'Neill, our 2021 winner of Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year. And again, someone who could be a future title contender. She's going to have a great career. She had a great first year in the UFC. I don't know. There was something about that selection that just, it didn't excite me. It didn't like thrill me. I have to see our other, if you can hear me typing here, our other choices. Who else was on that list? 2021. I felt like it wasn't like Haush Manfio, okay. Bruno Silva, fine. Usman Nurmagomedov, that turned out pretty well, I guess. And then Manel Fiorot. So not like a bad list, but even counting Usman, even counting Manel Fiorot, like our 4 and 5 choices who have, you know, continued to have great success. I don't know. It didn't excite me. This year, though, we actually had like a ton of good options. And this was just looking at the UFC. I may have neglected some Bellator rookies, so I apologize to Bellator. But just going by UFC rookies, we had like so many good choices. I think it came down to like, we're, like you said, Mike, we're doing our top fives. I think I had like 7 really strong, like worthy names, which was not the case last year. Last year it was almost like I had 3 strong ones, and then like I felt like I had to pick and choose like 2 others. It worked out much better this year. So I will say we can keep doing Rookie, especially considering how many fight cards the UFC puts on now, plus Bellator, plus other promotions. Yeah, we shouldn't have too difficult of a choice finding fighters who had notable big show debuts, big show campaigns. So okay, I'm fine with it, Mike. I've settled. I'm fine with it because we got some really, really good ones this year.
Other Favs for that award last year. Oh. Maybe some names you recognize: Paddy Pimblett, Alex Pereira.
You and I don't talk about Paddy Pimblett enough. I want to say that for 2023, my vow is you and I. We need to talk about Paddy Pimblett more. We just don't talk about
enough. Alex Pereira, Terrence McKinney, Aaron Blanchfield, Lupe Godinez, Chris Barnett, Gregory Rodriguez, Ian Gary, and Jeff Molina were also Favs for Rookie of the Year in 2021.
Yeah, and these are all good names. I think a lot of these names, though, were like only had 2 fights or something. I think that's my issue. Like, I think a lot of them were like 2-0 or 2-1. Lupe fought like 10 times. I don't, except for Lupe, she fought like 10 times. Yeah. But I remember, like, I just felt like there wasn't enough for me to get like super. It was like 2-0. I think a lot of these guys were 2-0. Maybe a few 3-0 people in there. I think a lot of them were 2-0. This year, I think several people on my list are 3-0, or at least 2-0 in a really exciting way. Anyway, we'll get to that. But yeah, great names on last year's list. I just didn't. Again, I wanted to see more of them, and I think we saw a lot more of the names that I have this year.
I agree. So where do you want to start, AK? Which one do you want to start with first? We want to start right at the top?
Do you want to build?
We can do whatever we want. You can pick the first one. I'll pick the second one. We'll just party on.
We're already talking Rookie. I mean, it just feels like we have to, doesn't it?
All right. Yeah. And again, like you noted, a lot of interesting names that could have gone into this. I feel like this is a 2-horse race, maybe a 3-horse race, depending on who you talk to. But there were some other intriguing names in here. So I'm curious, who are your top 5 nominees for Rookie of the Year?
All right. Well, I'll start at number 1. I mean, I had to go with my man, Jailton Almeida. I mean, this dude is ridiculous. I wish we had gotten to see him fight more. They keep trying to book him with Shamil Abdurakhimov, and God willing, that fight will actually happen It's supposed to happen in January now. Fingers crossed. Because he only managed to go... Oh, he still went 3-0. That's right. Okay, I completely forgot almost about the Danilo Marquez fight, which was at light heavyweight, before he's made this apparently permanent move to heavyweight. It sounds like he wants to win a title in this division first before possibly dropping back down. But yeah, so impressive. Has the grappling that we always want to see in a future champion. 3-0, yeah. Danilo Marquez, first-round finish. Parker Porter, first-round finish. And first-round finish of Anton Turkali, the Pleasure Man. So when you beat the Pleasure Man, you're pretty much a lock. I mean, if that had been his only fight, he might have been a lock anyway to be the number one rookie of the year. But yeah, he just looks like he has all the tools. He's in that right spot. He's 31, so he's not like super young, but he's got that right mixture of youth, experience. He's almost 20 pro MMA fights. Again, when you see him fight, he just looks like a champion. I'm sure people will nitpick, oh, well, who has he beaten? You know, Danilo Marquez, Parker Porter, Turkali, like, not a murderous row of people. But again, we're talking rookie year. If he had beaten at any higher level of competition, I mean, he might have made it my top five for fighter of the year. But just as far as rookie as being a, taking care of business with what he's been booked against in his first year in the UFC, amazing, amazing first campaign, and I really think he'll be fighting for a title sooner rather than later. I think winning. I'm picking him to win a title at heavyweight or light heavyweight.
I like it. Who else you got?
We'll go to touch upon the others. Second place, I mean, easily could have been number one, Muhammad Makhachev, a man that many have touted as a potential two division champion. They think his flyweight is all but guaranteed. Again, same with Almeida, great grappling. Hasn't had the same finishing ability. I think he's also fought tougher competition than Gelaton Almeida. So that's a reason to... So even though he doesn't have the highlights, that certainly would be a reason to give him the nod. I went with sort of the flash and also who's probably going to get to the title sooner. I think Almeida will. Makhachev is so young. Again, just comparing my top two choices, he's like 9 years younger than Almeida. So if they want to take things slow with Makhachev, they absolutely can. You might not see him fight for a title until 2024. So I think Almeida gets there sooner. That might be the only difference. I'm all in on my number three choice, Mike, Raul Rosas Jr. I don't know. Like, listen, I get it. I should also add, I'm giving him points for fights outside of the UFC. I think he went, what did he do? Like 7-0 this year?
Seven? Like, yeah.
Six and oh. Yeah, he made his pro debut late 2021, and then said, "I'm going to the UFC now. Give me fights. The competition, whatever." Again, we're talking about 0-0 people, 2-0 people. That's fine. Again, he's 17. He was 17 years old when he was fighting these people. He was 1-0, 2-0 himself. So it's the right level of competition, and did what you're supposed to do when you're a top prospect who's this highly touted. He ran through these guys, all finishes before his contender series appearance. Dominates Jay Perrin, a guy who's got quite a bit more experience than him. So all top three of my guys, I get it. They're just people who took care of business, but they did it so impressively. And again, Raul Rosas getting extra points for 5-0, again, before in 2022, before making his UFC debut. So maybe I cheated a little there. Wasn't just UFC fights I was counting for RRJ, but I had to put him high on the list, very high on him. Michael Morales, again, unfortunately, couldn't get into the cage a third time this year, but super impressive. Another guy who I think is going to be a contender in his division. And someone who I maybe could have put higher. I think he's going to be higher on your list, Mike. Jack Della Maddalena. I mean, just so exciting. Insane knockout power. He says he's fighting Li Jingliang in early next year. I know that's not confirmed yet. But if he gets that fight, boy, he could be jumping up real, real fast in the welterweight division. And again, a guy who could be an early candidate for... 2023 fighter of the year consideration if he gets that Lee fight, if he beats Lee, and depending what other names he can get. So Almeida, Makhachev, Rosas Jr., Morales, and Della Maddalena.
It's a good list. Let me pull mine up real quick. Rookie, Gelton Almeida, number one. JDM, number two. Muhammad Makhachev, number three. Raul Rosas Jr., number four. I mean, yeah. It's hard not to put him in there with the impact this kid made. Number five, Yasmin Yuragi
Ooh.
Gets the number five spot. I mean, Talk about someone coming in super young with a lot of talent, not a ton of buzz coming in. Remember when this fight, it was the battle of the Yasmins or the Jasmines at the UFC yeah. San Diego, and we're just why is this on the main card? I don't really get it. And then these two just got after it, and they had a tremendous fight, and Yargi won, and people were very excited to see her again, and then she fights again at UFC Orlando. Struggles a little bit with the Estela Nunes, had some problems, got stung a little bit in the first round, overcame it, and got a nice finish in round two. A lot of excitement around her in a division that, let's be honest, it's a division that doesn't really let you down, but it's also a division that needs a fresh coat of paint in a lot of ways in terms of up-and-coming superstars. I feel like flyweight has become one of those divisions. I feel like bantamweight is just kind of what it is. But strawweight kind of need a little bit of a boost. Like, there's some big names and there's some fun fights, but I feel like Yasmin's one of those fighters who can provide that boost. I'm really excited to see what she can do in 2023. So that's why she got the number 5 spot, AK.
Yeah. Yasmin's definitely one of the names that made my final 7. It would have been her and probably Caio Baralho. I feel like we're snubbing Caio pretty badly. Mr. Co-main event. Two fight night co-main events and was he on pay-per-view? How did Caio? Did Caio make a pay-per-view? Not a co-main, obviously, but did Caio end up the Mr. I don't want to say fake co-main, but he did end up in some co-mains that I believe I said. Yeah. So yeah. Two co-main events, fight nights. Well done. Good exposure there. And then was on the prelims, of the UFC 280. So very nice first campaign for Caio. I think if he had gotten some finishes and against good competition too, that's the other thing. So I think if he had gotten some finishes, maybe just finish one of these guys, because we know he can. Like, he's so skilled on the ground, and really pretty well rounded. I think he would have cracked our top 5s, but he was just kind of missing that signature moment. Tetsuro Taira just kind of got lost in the Muhammad Makhayev wave. You're kind of picking one flyweight. It's going to be Makhayev. And Fakhretdinov, I think we had done voting before the most recent, or we'd done a lot of preliminary, at least thinking, before the most recent fight. And I think he'd be a nice sleeper pick. He wouldn't make my top 5, but definitely Renat Fakhretdinov needs some mention, because he looks like he could be a contender at 170.
Completely agree. I like all those picks. Rookie was a fun one this year, right?
It was, yeah, really.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's go to submission of the year. Ooh. I'll go to submission of the year, AK. We're building our way up. My top 5, I feel like, again, this is kind of a two-horse race. This was, and I feel like we're going to feel the same way with the knockout of the year. It's the spot and the moment and what it meant over the actual submission itself. So that's how I voted. To me, Jiří Procházka submitting Glover Teixeira is just so ridiculous, and it makes no sense at all based on what that fight looked like on paper. But considering Jiří Procházka was less than a minute away from losing that fight to Glover Teixeira, it was such a crazy fight, a crazy round. For him to just wrap up a crazy rear naked choke the way that he did to win the belt, it's my number one. It's absolutely my number one. Now, the other horse in the race was Jessica Andrade with that crazy submission of Amanda Lemos. Understand why people would have voted that number one, but to me, I just think Yuri's was just so much more impactful. Number three, Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje. That was just absolutely nuts. Not a lot of people were giving Charles a chance to win that fight. A lot of people were picking Justin Gaethje, and especially with the weight miss, they felt like Charles Oliveira, maybe his head wasn't in the game. Crazy fight. Oliveira overcomes a lot of adversity, gets the submission. Number four, Tommy Aspinall against Alexander Volkov. What a moment at UFC London. Number five, we're going to Bellator. The buggy choke. Oliver Enkamp versus Mark Leminger. I feel like buggy choke, big event, big promotion, deserves to be in the top five. But I feel like there's a number of different ways you can go for three, four, and five on this one. But I feel like one and two, it's those two, no matter what order you have them in. What say you?
Andrade didn't make my list.
Really?
Wow. Didn't make my list. I will say, I think every year, I could be wrong, I think submission has the most, like, the widest range of, like, mentions. That's honorable mentions, because it's such a tip, because you find so many weird, crazy submissions on the regional scene, on the international scene, that you've, like, never seen before. I definitely went, like, bizarro with some of my picks this year. I strayed from most of the main promotions. Well, that's not true. No, I have, like, one from each of the main promotions, and then some weird ones. And it's hard. It's hard, because you want to... quality of competition matters. Especially since I agree with you, I went with Procházka. I mean, it won him a UFC title. He choked out a BJJ black belt, one of the best BJJ guys in the light heavyweight division. Fatigue might have had something to do with it. I mean, this is the most insane five-round championship fight we've ever seen. I wonder if Teixeira at that point is just looking for any way out, certainly having a large check man's bicep across your throat would be a good reason too, I would think, as any, to tap out. But it is not a choke the way that Procházka put it on. They will not be teaching that in jiu-jitsu classes, Mike. That's not a textbook choke, but I mean, my God, what a dramatic moment. What a way to win a fight. And so unexpected. I can't remember what the odds were. It was something like minus, I don't know, 3,000 Procházka win by submission, something like that. Oh, sorry, plus 3,000, I should say. So I have no problem putting that number one. That's where quality of competition and moment comes in. But if we're talking like technique and like strangeness, man, there were just so many fun options. So number two for me was Stevie Ray tapping on Anthony Pettis. I don't know. I know finishing Pettis isn't like the huge feather in the cap that it used to be. I still think he's one of the toughest guys to put away. So for Stevie Ray to win was such a cool, like weird, you know, twister variation thing. I still don't remember what it was called. Was awesome. What was this? Luka Poklet and Dante Shiro. So you went with Oliver Enkamp and... Mark Leminger. So that's a good one from Bellator. Yeah, I picked one from Bellator. I went with Poklet and Shiro. I just never seen whatever the hell choke that he put on him. People listening, please, you can find these clips. They're on YouTube. I'm pretty sure Bellator threw this one up there. Just a very bizarre choke, which I had never seen before. And I would get it if people just go like, oh, it's some Bellator prelim. Why does it matter? That's fine. But for me, the execution was so crazy. So this is, again, I went with, you know, something I'd never seen before, which is I rarely see someone straight up choked unconscious by a Gogo Plata. I've seen many Gogo Plata submissions, but a choke out is rare, unless we're talking about The Undertaker, who choked out many people with his horrible, horrible Gogo Plata in the WWE. So Joyce Imada's submission of Isabella de Padua, happened this past March at a Brazilian fighting series show. Is pretty amazing. You guys can find that on Miss Fist, on MMAfighting.com, or again, the clip is just out there. And then I had to go with another weird one for my fifth choice. Leonardo Casotti submitting Mahmoud Mando with a calf slicer. Now, Mike, I don't know if have you seen this one, Casotti, Mando, calf slicer?
No, I have not, actually.
Do you remember how what Roman Dolidze was doing to Jack Hermanson? Like, he had, like, his leg, you know, twisted into his body, like a pro wrestling, like, STF.
Yep.
Except he ended it with a TKO. He ended, you know, punching him out. So Kasady finished, like, he actually won via calf slicer. Like, he bended the leg. And he was almost going to put on, like, a John Cena, like, STF on him, I think. But he got the calf slicer. I love calf slicers. I'm a sucker for them, so this had to make my list. This was one of the nastiest looking calf slicers I'd ever seen, and I thought I wouldn't see anything like it until, like, literally, like, a week later or 2 weeks later, the Roman Dolidze thing happened. So, very cool variation of this move. I love it. Part of me doesn't want to see people doing it again, because I think it's going to end up with, like, someone's leg just getting torn into a million pieces. But for now, I will just enjoy it for what it is. That was fifth on my list. Sorry, Jessica Andrade. I'm sorry. That was a sick submission. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm a UFC hater. I don't know what to say, Mike.
Hey, listen. Can't get mad at that. All right. You go. Where are we going next?
All right. You know what? Again, submission. You got to go KO. You got to go submission. You got to go to KO. I'll tell you my number one first, Mike, and then you can give me your list. The two horse race you're talking about. I don't know how good I feel about this pick. I have seen the rest of our stats picks, I should say. I won't spoil what our list is going to be like, but I know most people did not agree with me. I just love the visual of the Michael Chandler, Tony Ferguson front kick KO. I think it's the new best front kick KO of all time. It feels like that's a list that gets updated pretty frequently. Even after the Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort one, wasn't Machida and Couture like the same year? Or within the same 12, within 12 months? And I'm like, oh, the Machida one's even better. Like, the Machida one's even better than the Anderson Silva one. And then every year we get a new one. I feel comfortable saying, like, this Michael Chandler one, which, again, I think is now the best front kick knockout of all time. I think it's been a while before this one gets dethroned, if ever. This was amazing.
I can't, like, I'm not mad at you because, much like Prochazka winning submission of the year, Chandler's KO was the best of the year. Like, it was the best KO. It just, it meant nothing. Like, it meant literally nothing. It was just two dudes fighting. That's all it was. There were very little stakes, probably more so for Tony Ferguson. Ferguson had a great first round, and then Chandler lands that kick. It's the best knockout of the year, 100%. But is it the knockout of the year for award? To me, it's Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman, because it's not just the knockout. It was everything that surrounded it as well. It was just the way that fight went. It's, again, final minute. Leon was done. No one expected it. John Anik leads it in. Dean Thomas gave his thoughts. Leon's done. And I actually agreed with him. The body language was awful. Joe Rogan said what he said. And then Anik with the beautiful call. And then boom, upside your head, new champion out of nowhere. Like, literally, Leon Edwards' title hopes were gone. Like, if that kick doesn't land and that fight plays out to the final horn, Leon's never, ever, ever getting another UFC title shot. And with less than a minute to go, flap, gets it done out of nowhere. Just everything about it was a magical moment. It's one of the best KOs ever because of all of that mixed into it. Like, aesthetically, it in an island, just we've seen many head kicks, but just with everything on the line, how it all went to be, the seeds were kind of planted, and it just bloomed into this. It bloomed into the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Plaza, my man. Like, with the lights attached to it, it's just a beautiful sight. And to me, that's number one, but Chandler Ferguson's clearly number two for me.
The more I talk about it and the more I think about it, I do not feel good about my pick. I don't feel I'm not changing it. I'm not, because listen, one thing, and being in the MMA media means never having to say you're sorry or admit that you're wrong. And I will stand by that. No, I agree. And it was so clean too. It's not like he knocked him down. It's not like he hit the head kick and had to, like, go in for ground and pound follow up. It was legitimate, like, fifth round walk off. You know, I'm now the UFC champion. I just completely changed the narrative of my entire career with one strike. Is unbelievable. I was also, this is probably in the moment thing. I was watching Chandler versus Ferguson when it happened. Edward vs. Usman, I didn't hear about till like the next morning. I was in Scotland. I was vacationing. So unfortunately, right. I missed the moment. I rewatched the fight. I tried to kind of put myself in that mindset. But it's never quite the same as being there, right? So I guess I'm favoring the one I watched live, as subjective as that sounds. But yeah, it's really hard to separate these two. But yeah, you can't, I mean, if Edwards versus Usman does end up being, you know, number one on our consensus list, how can anyone argue that? I have a feeling it won't just be our list, but sort of the entire MMA community are going to be putting that at the top. It was, I almost still can't believe it, Mike. Maybe that's the other part, is I don't believe it actually happens. I can't believe it.
But that's your number two, though, right?
That is my number two, yeah.
But now we get interesting. 3, 4, and 5. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of great choices. What's your 3, 4, and 5?
I'm going to go with Zhang Weili ending the Joanna Jacek rematch with just a ridiculous spinning attack. Irene Aldana, Macy Chiasson, just because we had never seen that before. I don't know how many other, I think only one other person put this on their list. Not the most aesthetically like pleasing knockout, and actually a little confusing at first. I think when I first saw it, I think I just thought like Chiasson had gotten injured somehow. Like she was standing over Aldana, or she had injured her knee or something like that. I did not realize it had been a heel to the stomach, to the liver, that took her out. A legitimate body shot knockout did not occur to me at the time. So maybe I in retrospect, it's gotten only better. In the moment, it was a little strange. And then Manny Akpan? I got to make sure I'm getting these names right. Again, I'm going outside of the major promotions. Manny Akpan hitting just a stupidly insane spinning wheel kick of Connor Hitchens at Cage Warriors 136 in April. Again, I don't care about, oh, is this a low stakes fight? Are these two guys ever, you know, major prospects contenders? Doesn't matter. Just aesthetically speaking, maybe the best knockout of the year. I went pretty viral, so I think anyone listening will know what I'm talking about. Of course, seek that one out. This was with Cage Warrior, so it wasn't some no-name promotion. This finish got out there. So Manny Akpan, you get my fifth spot, sir.
Good list. I have Zhang Weili Joanna as number four. Love that knockout. Number five, Molly McCann, Luana Carolina. Just, again, it was just one of those crazy moments. Everything just kind of built up to it. Molly talked all week about wanting to get that first knockout. Jed Meshew cashing a big third round KO TKO ticket on Molly McCann. The crowd was on fire. It was just amazing. My number three might be a stunner to some people, but it was just so ferocious going back and watching it. Ilya Topuria knocking out Jai Herbert at UFC London was just insane. At 155, up a weight class, Jai hurts Ilya early. We're just like, maybe he's just too small to fight at this division. And then Topuria just lands one punch, and I thought Jai Herbert was dead. Like, I thought he killed him with his one punch, because the way he went down, he was down for a long time. Just a filthy, disgusting knockout. So that's my bronze medalist right there. Ilya Topuria, Jai Herbert, UFC London, AK.
I feel a little, that was amazing. Ilya Topuria had a hell of a year. I feel a little bad about not having Molly on there, because we were, when it happened at the time, we were saying that's the greatest knockout we've seen in a women's MMA fight. I almost feel like I had to choose between her and Zhang, which is silly. Because if there was two like crazy front kick knockouts, I probably would have put them both on. But you know, both two spinning elbow knockouts, I was like, I really only feel comfortable putting on one. So since I want to give love to Aldana, I want to give love to Akpan. So, if people have both Zhang's spinning knockout on the list and Molly McCann's, I don't blame them. It's like that year, Mike. Who were the two guys who had Suluev stretches? Aljamain had a Suluev stretch finish of like Cody Stamen.
Yeah.
And it was on the same card, I think. It was like two guys on the same card.
It was. I forget.
And I can't remember the other one. But I think both of them ended up on MMA Fighting's submission of the year list, which I thought was like a bit weird. And I remember on my list, I only put one, I believe. But again, if they're both great, just because they're the same move, how can you keep them off? So my apologies to Molly McCann. Your spinning elbow probably should be on here. It shouldn't be an either or with Zhang. But that's kind of how I looked at I think it might be how I made a few things on my list, actually. But anyway.
Was it Zabit?
It was Zabit. Yeah. Zabit. Yeah. I think okay. Zabit did it first. I want to say Zabit did it first, and then Aljo did it later, and we were just like, wow, that's wild.
Yeah, you might be. Well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember who did it first, but I remember it was another example of like Aljo feeling like he didn't get enough love.
Yeah.
People were talking about Zabits, and I was just like, wait a minute, I did the same. I did it too. What are you talking about?
And I think he beat a tougher. He beat Cody Stamen. It was him and Cody Stamen, right? So I think he got like a tougher opponent. But but I think they Zabit both
was
made
Brandon Davis, maybe something like that.
Who's okay, but he gets finished quite a bit. And I think they both made our submission of the year list. So, so that should have that. Maybe that'll happen here too. I'm actually not sure.
All right, we'll say fighter of the year for last. I'll go with the fight of the year. Again, two horse race, depends on your tastes, but to me, it's Jiří versus Glover. There's just no way around it. Like that's just the most ridiculous fight I probably have ever seen. There have been more technical masterpieces and crazy fights throughout the history of the UFC, but I've just never seen an emotional roller coaster ride like Prochazka versus Teixeira. It's just five rounds of one dude almost finishing the other getting out of it and almost finishing the other guy. It's just insane. It's a fight that I would show any fan or any person who is like, why do you watch this crap? I would show them this fight and be like, this is why. This fight by itself in a vacuum is exactly why. Number two, it's Khamzat Chimaev versus Gilbert Burns. I was not in the arena for that fight. I was in the building, but I wasn't watching it cage side. I was in the back watching with the media, other media members. We were all going insane. And it was like an earthquake struck the building. Because like the way the fans were reacting to it, the whole media room was like shaking. It was unbelievable. And that fight was incredible. Showed that Khamzat Chimaev is actually a human being, and he bleeds his own blood, AK. It's possible to actually get this guy in some sort of trouble. So that's number two. Number three is probably my favorite fight of the year. It's the fight that I've watched the most in 2022. It's Mateusz Gamrot versus Arman Tsarukyan. That main event was incredible. I've watched it probably 30 times this year. If I'm at the gym and I'm struggling to like get through cardio, I will just put that fight on and it'll get me going and I will just run through a wall. I still believe to this day, Tsarukyan should have won that fight. I believe he won. There's not one watch that I thought Gamrot won that fight, but it's just incredible to watch the swings of that one. That's my number three. My number four happened in January and probably isn't getting enough love in these lists. It's the trilogy fight between Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. Loved that fight from UFC 270. I actually thought Moreno won that fight, but just seeing the different Davison Figueiredo in that fight as opposed to the other two fights, just like night and day, it was great to watch. And number five, it didn't get out of the first round, but golly, was it entertaining. Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje gets my number five spot, AK. What a ridiculous round that was.
Yeah, I love that fight. That is in at my number two, Oliveira Gaethje. So much fun. I feel bad I couldn't put the third Moreno-Figueiredo fight on there. That was a super, super enjoyable fight. You're right, maybe it's because it happened in, beginning of the year. I'm forgetting about it. But number one, could not deny Prochazka Teixeira. Mike, MMA is supposed to be fun. We know this. MMA is supposed to be fun. And I can't remember the last time I had more fun watching a fight, a championship fight for sure. We can be a little cynical these days. We can be a little jaded, but my goodness, I'm just going back. I actually was scrolling up and looking back at our commentary, our Slack commentary, and we are just all over the place. We don't know, like, we can't tell what's going on. Casey says, Jiří is the dumbest fighter ever. I love it. I called Prochazka pillow hands Prochazka for some reason. I'm not sure what was going on there. New York Rick Glover can't retire because we got to see this again. Steven Morocco just saying, my word. Just followed by you saying, why? All cap with 4 exclamation points. I think someone was jumping. Someone was jumping a gilly, I think, at some point.
Glover.
Glover. Yeah, we were all over the place and just in complete disbelief when Glover tapped out. So such a fun fight. People can nitpick all they want. Okay, you know, maybe it wasn't either guy's best performance ever. Maybe at times it was comical. It was almost comical how sloppy it was. But that's a fight, man. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Is that even at the highest level with two guys, you have an elite striker, one of the best strikers in the world in Jiří, one of the best grapplers in the world in Glover Teixeira. Once a fight starts happening and just becomes a fight, anything can happen, man. It comes down to grit. It comes down to who wants it more. I don't see anyone can hate on that. And then, you know, Prochazka just outlasted him. That's why we were so excited to see them fight again twice in the same year. We were possibly, depending how the rematch went, they could have been the number one and number two fight of the year spots. That was in play before the rematch was cruelly taken away from us. So I love this fight. I will watch it a million times. It's so, so, so good and so fun. And if you'll complain about it being sloppy, well, you just watch a different sport, because this is what MMA is about to me. As I said, Oliveira, Gaethje, number two. Number three, Ciryl Gane versus Tai Tuivasa. Again, fun. And for me, some vindication, because I had been saying I really think Tuivasa is a legit top three guy, could fight for a title someday. I don't know if that's going to happen now, of course, now back-to-back losses. But going into that fight, I'm like, win or lose, Tuivasa could fight for a title someday. And he brought that to Ciryl Gane. I mean, we all thought Ciryl was going to win. I thought he'd have a hard time of it. I didn't know if I think he'd have that hard of a time with Tuivasa legitimately rocking him. But it also brought out the best in Gane, and that was fun to see. And let's go French again for my number four pick. Little obscure here from an Aries fighting championship event in April. Freddy Camayo versus Xavier Lassou. This fight in its entirety is available on, I think it's on YouTube or social media or on the dark web, but look it up. Camayo versus Lassou. 6 minutes of just complete nonsense. Two guys, experienced fighters, I think, in kickboxing, not in MMA, and just complete slop fest. And it is so hilarious and so fun. It is one of those unbelievable fights where you think it's going to end in like 45 seconds and somehow extends to 6 minutes and just doesn't stop. And the winner is really the survivor more than anything else. So really fun fight. And then, Mike, I couldn't leave off Gamrot and Sarukyan. I said, this is my best friend approved fight of the year candidate. If you think I am leaving this off my fight of the year list, then you don't know what you're talking about. Because my best friend says it's great. I watched it again. I'm like, this fight is sensational. Just the highest level of competition in what many consider to be the toughest division in all of MMA. Two guys who should be fighting for titles sooner rather than later if it wasn't for some friggin' squatting going on at the top. But I love that fight. And boy, we could have made a top, 25? How many amazing fights were there? What didn't make... Oh, you had... I couldn't find a space for Chimaev and Burns. Again, maybe if I had been in the same situation as you, Mike, it would have been undeniable. But, I mean, that was like our fight of the year lock when it happened. And now I couldn't even make my list. But I'm glad you gave it some recognition. And I'm sure our peers will as well.
Absolutely. Thompson Holland, probably another one.
Oh, so
that was
good.
A good honorable mention. Although, I just can't put it in my top five. Like, it was if that fight, if Thompson Holland happened in April, it's not on this list at all.
Sure.
Not even getting votes, I don't think. Maybe one. Maybe there's a hipster out there who gives it one or two, but it wouldn't be even in consideration, I don't think. But I think it's just the timing of the fight, and it was just our expectations going in were it's either going to be Wonder Boy doing Wonder Boy things and winning a decision that isn't all that thrilling, or Kevin Holland's going to make us really sad by knocking him out. And instead, we got a battle between the two of them that none of us expected. So it's the expectation factor.
I had to leave off Tennessee's own Nate Landwehr. Ah, the train. That hurts me.
I know. That's a tough one, too.
That hurts me. How could I give disrespect that fight so much? Oh,
that was a great fight.
What else? I'm looking at our sort David of short Onama. List here. What a gamer. I mean, David Onama. Shout out to David Onama as well, of course, the other half of that fight. Dover McKinney would have been a round of the year. I mean, round of the year.
Yeah.
Lock. Yeah, yeah. if it makes people's fight of the year list, no objection whatsoever, but definitely round of the year. Man, we had some really good ones, eh? Costa versus Rockhold was just a weird, sexy fight. That was just... that was something else. That was something else.
Yes.
A lot of good choices.
Yeah.
A lot of good choices.
Yeah. It was the in-cage product was very, very exciting this year.
Fantastic.
For the UFC. And and others, but...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's wrap things up with the fighter of the year.
Oh.
And this encompasses all fighters, male, female. They're all involved here.
Yeah. People are going to be so mad at me.
Really?
I'm just warning you.
I know what you did.
No, I know you don't know what I did. I have, someone has been left off and it might be controversial.
Please. You can't just tease us like this. Let's hear it.
Well, let me hear. No. You do your list first. And as soon as you get into the section about the person who I'm pretty sure will be on everyone's list except mine, I will interrupt.
Okay. So this is the battle of the Alexes for sure. It's either Alex Pereira or Alex Volkanovski. And you can make a compelling case for both guys because Alex Volkanovski was perfect this year. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Two of the 10 best UFC title defenses in the history of the company were done by Alexander Volkanovski this year. Mm-hmm. Against the Korean Zombie, pitched a perfect game, and then he actually somehow improved upon that and did an even better perfect game against Max Holloway 3 months later. And now he's going to fight Islam Makhachev for the lightweight title in February. Having said that, you got to give it to Alex Pereira, at least for me. Alex Pereira wins it. 3-0, went from unranked to freaking champion. Again, losing the fight to Israel Adesanya, minute away from losing the fight, and then he gets the TKO, gets it done. So it's Pereira, then Volkanovski. Number three, Islam Makhachev.
Who's going to be taking on Mr. Volkanovski? Islam is on my list. Alex Volkanovski is not on my list.
What?
Alex Volkanovski is not on my list.
That is stunning.
Is it?
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. If Alex Pereira loses to Israel Adesanya.
Yes.
Who's your fighter of the year?
Islam Makhachev.
Wow. Okay. Explain yourself because I'm stunned by this.
Listen, Alex Volkanovski, great fighter. Maybe the best fighter in the world today. First of all, when people see my list, they'll see I kind of went for, I shouldn't say I only went for storylines, because Alex Volkanovski becoming the pound-for-pound greatest fighter in the world is certainly a storyline in its own right. My number one is Alex Pereira, obviously. So Alex Pereira, number one, Islam Makhachev, number two. I'll get the rest of my list in a second. But yes, no Volkanovski. I'm a huge Volkanovski fan. I have been for a long time. I think that's what it was for me. Is I think someone like, say, a Shaheen Al-Shadi, for example. They doubted him. I think there were some doubts. There was some doubts about him. I know Shaheen, for the longest time, was on the I still think Max Holloway is better train. I think it was Shaheen, right? Anyway, I'm throwing Shaheen under the bus right now, for the sake of it. But yeah, there are certainly people out there who thought that, oh, Max Holloway, because the second fight was close, and still they weren't ready to anoint Volkanovski as the best featherweight or whatever, like undisputed. I had done that a long time ago. Like, there was no doubts in my mind that Volkanovski was far and away the best featherweight in the world. So I went through this sort of spiritual awakening that I think some people had around Volkanovski this year. I had gone through that like a year ago. So I'm being a bit of a hipster. I'm a Volkanovski hipster, Mike. I'm not. It's. I don't want to see this band anymore. Now that they've gone mainstream. No, it's not. It's not like that. It's just that. The zombie fight, obviously dominant wins. I'm not gonna take it away from him. And I thought zombie was like didn't look bad going in, but now in retrospect, I think it hasn't aged as well. We know zombie is pretty much one fight away from retirement. He said after the fight, like, I just didn't feel like, you know, I had it in there. And I think anyone who saw that, all the credit to Volkanovski. That's not like peak zombie. That's, you know, and again, he kills peak zombie anyway. So a great title defense, no question. Just not something that left a huge impact on me. And then the Holloway win only just confirmed what I knew. I know he's better than Max Holloway. Like, I knew that. And now to thoroughly dominate one of the greatest fighters of all time, someone considered your greatest rival, I get it. Really impressive. But again, I guess because it's just I expected it. I personally did not need more convincing. You know what I mean? So both his title defenses this year just didn't propel him that much further in my mind. Now, is that a good reason to leave him off the list? Debatable. Debatable. But there's other storylines. There's just other storylines that just intrigue me more. Maybe, now that I'm looking at it, there may be some residual breakthrough fighter of the year stuff in here. Like, because I don't have that category, I may have snuck them into my fighter of the year list. I'm sorry. But my continue with your list first, and while people sort of process this and get their angry messages ready. I know you were Islam Makhachev, number three, you said.
Yes. Number five, I'll throw in Zhang Weili. Zhang Weili, number five. I mean, the win over Joanna and then winning the title, two finishes. I mean, if we were doing female fighter of the year, she's hands down the female fighter of the year.
Number one.
Number four is Leanne Edwards. One fight, one win. Just, again, much like the knockout, just that one win was enough for him to make this list. Now, I know there are some people who have argued on Heck of the Morning that Leanne Edwards should just be the fighter of the year anyways, the number one fighter of the year for that knockout of Kamaru Usman, and I just can't do it. Now, if you want to rank him like three, I'm okay with that, but throwing him at number four, I think, is pretty fair. I think it's a pretty fair place to put him. So it's Pereira, Volkanovski, Makhachev, Leon Edwards, Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili did not make my list. Leon Edwards did not make my list. So people out there, if you're composing an angry message about the Volkanovski omission, you may want to make that message longer. I snubbed a few UFC champs on here. Listen, I may have inadvertently, you know, without even thinking about it, put a cap on how many UFC champs I want to have on my list. I only had Pereira, I only had Makhachev, so that left a lot of, listen, very deserving top stars in MMA out. I understand that, but I guess for variety's sake, I went in different directions. So one of those directions was Sergey Pavlovich. I think he will be fighting for a UFC title soon. I think he could be winning a UFC title soon, depending how all this drama shakes out with Ngannou, Jon Jones, Stipe, Curtis Blaydes, whoever. He might have this just really weird route to becoming a UFC champion within the first like 6 months of 2023. Like, this is a realistic thing that could happen. And when you consider that injuries, visa issues had kept him out of competition for like 3 years, like, he hadn't fought since 2019 before this calendar year began. And now he's racked up three wins and is top five in his division. Make fun of the heavyweight division all you want. That's a hell of an achievement. And he's beaten some good names to get there. So Sergey is my number three. Number four, maybe the fighter I enjoyed more than anyone else. I had to sneak him in after what he did on the last UFC card of the year. Drew Dober had to make it. Mike had to make my list. I'm sorry. I know he didn't win the UFC titles. I know he pulled out wins in fights that two of the fights he was clear, like Terrence McKinney almost finished him, and Bobby Green fight he was clearly losing. Only the Rafael Alves fight was he like winning anyway, and then finished him. And that fight was awesome for its own reasons because Rafael Alves is just also insane. So three exciting knockouts, and again, very tough division. Is he going to get a ranked guy next? Is he going to be a contender in 2023? I honestly do not care. I just know I had so much fun watching Drew Dober. I had to make my list. And then I had to go PFL. Mike, I had to go the PFL way. There's a lot of names you could have picked here. Certainly, Larissa Pacheco, I mean, would have been a great choice. I think Olivia Aubin-Mercier was kind of a sneaky one as well. Who's the middleweight? Rob Wilkinson? No, light heavyweight. Rob Wilkinson? Yep. Rob Wilkinson. Yep. What the hell? The dude's a millionaire. And his fights were exciting. But I'll go with the one that everyone was probably talk, besides Pacheco, everyone was talking about the most, Brendan Loughnane. I mean, just going from that contender series. I know he doesn't want that contender series Dana White comment to be hanging over him for the rest of his career. I understand that. But it is a huge part of his story. A guy who was a veteran before that, has had to climb and crawl and climb his way back to a prominent position even after that. And now winning a PFL championship, $1 million. Just a great story. Just the kind of thing you only see in MMA. So Brendan had to make my list, and he's really just kind of flying the flag for all these some pretty cool PFL stories we had this year.
I like your list, AK. I like your list. I appreciate the hipster vibes.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Alex Volkanovski. Again, he beats Islam.
God.
He's locking into that number one spot as long as he fights probably one of. He might not even need to fight another time. If he beats Islam, he might just. He's sitting in that number one spot for the next like 10 months.
Yeah. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I'm stunned by all of this, but it's okay. But it's all right. That's why we do these. It is based on the vibes. It's based on individual vibes. Like, I probably have some things ranked higher than they probably should be, and here you are.
And listen, Mike,
doing the damn thing.
We are heroes for putting ourselves out there, because not everyone, I think, is going to reveal all our ballots will be revealed. People look for those on MMAfighting.com. Every article has, yes, the beautiful write-ups for the top five. And then the bottom, we always put a chart of the exact voting, who we voted for, who voted for what, where we ranked them. So you can shout at us individually there. But Mike, you and I are right now putting ourselves on wax, as it were, figuratively speaking, and defending ourselves and leaving ourselves open to the public. Because, listen, bring it on. We welcome it. This is our life.
Yeah. I have no idea how this is all going to play out. There's like 10 other people who are voting in this panel. So this could be the wackiest awards we've ever had. And they're going to start being revealed.
I think Connor Brooks is in there. Connor Brooks is in there, I think, right?
He's the first time panelist.
GC.
And yeah, Connor's got takes, man. He's got views. He looks at things through a different lens sometimes. So this could be the wackiest awards season we've ever had. And it's going to start on Sunday. We'll have write-ups every single day. The 27th, which is a Tuesday, we'll have our full-on award show for you to check out. You can watch, listen to it right here on the podcast network. That's coming up Tuesday, December 27th, 2022. And I believe on the 30th, there's going to be another write-up with like the best of the rest.
Yes.
We'll just have like different awards, a round table of different awards that we didn't get to, but we wanted to honor those winners as well. Last thing before you go, AK, wanted to get your reaction to MMA fanmanship becoming more expensive, especially in North America. $79.99 for UFC pay-per-views on ESPN Plus. Now, I don't think this affects you per se. Does it? Did your pay-per-view prices get jacked up in Canada?
I don't think it did. Honestly, I'm not sure it did last time either. A year ago, I don't know if we got a bump. So I think we're okay. I think we're sitting pretty up here. We got other problems, but more expensive UFC pay-per-views in Canada, I'm pretty sure is not an issue. Again, as Dana White somewhat correctly pointed out last time this happened, it's a ESPN decision. It's not a UFC decision. That said, I'm sure UFC Dana White and some of the fine folks of the UFC are not exactly protesting it, and I'm sure are benefiting from this price increase. So, but yes, it is an ESPN Plus thing. We have a whole separate thing of order. We still have our own just like paper order from pay per view, a separate pay per view channel up here. So doesn't affect us, but for my friends in the lower 52. 52? How many states do you guys have, Mike?
50.
Yeah, I knew that. Listen, I went to university. For you guys, it's tough, man. And it's only going to keep going up like $5 every year if they wanted to. I don't know what the tipping point is. Maybe this is it. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's going to be 100. By 2025, it's going to be 100.
You think so? I know.
100%.
Maybe I don't know, like maybe 70, maybe 80 is a big difference from 75 for some people, that extra five, just the optics of it. But again, I would have thought last year that the price increase would have scared some people away. Clearly it didn't. Clearly the UFC and ESPN are pretty happy with how things are going, and obviously they feel they can take more. And regarding, of course, will this affect fighters, I have to read this hilarious tweet from this tweet exchange from our pals, Errol Helwani and Chuck Mindenhall. Errol quote tweets, you know, the price increase and says, surely this means fighter pay will also go up, being a little sarcastic, of course. And Chuck responds, correct. Fighters will pay a little more for pay-per-views in 2023, just like everyone else. So that made me laugh. And such a grim, just dark reflection of how the current UFC and ESPN business model works today. But so it is, Mike. So it is.
So it is indeed. Well, yeah, it sucks for our American fans. $80. And if there's taxes and fees attached to these bad boys too. So now we're looking at like $85.
And you're subscribed to ESPN Plus. Like, you need a subscription to this service, right?
Which also went up. Yeah, which also went up to $6.99. So that went up $2 too.
We don't have that here. Like I said, yeah, we have it on our part of our cable package on TSN. That's for fight nights and everything else. And then the pay-per-view is just a separate. No need to subscribe to anything, just a separate cost thing.
Well,
wow.
With that said, it's on to award season. It's on to celebrate the rest of the holiday season. Not sure if we're going to be doing another show next week, but AK, we got some stuff going down. No on to the next one this weekend, but next weekend, we begin our two-part predictions extravaganza for on to the next one. Coming up New Year's Day, it'll be our 2022 predictions recap to see how we did.
Oh no.
We didn't do great, but we didn't do horrible. I'll say that. Our spicy We Caliente takes were actually, I don't know. We'll get into all of that stuff. I listened to it a couple weeks ago and I was like, we were pretty good. I was like, wow, we're rolling here. And then I was like, ooh, we're not good at this. And this is just a reminder to you guys as well. Submit your buy-sell questions. We got a bunch of them already for the 2023 predictions extravaganza. Think outside the box. Have some fun with it. You can submit them anywhere you submit. You're on to the next one.
They've been sending them in, Mike. My inbox, it's already starting to get packed.
We love it.
Keep them coming. Keep Absolutely them coming, people. It. Keep them coming.
Yep. 25 to 30. We'll go through them, and then we'll predict UFC champions at the end of the year. We'll have our We Caliente hot take of the year, bold prediction, so forth and so on. So still some fun stuff happening on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network and on our YouTube channel. So we appreciate all the support. We appreciate all the love. And even if you didn't like what we were doing this year, you still listened, you still watched, and we love you for it. So for AK, I am Mike Keck. Thank you very much. Back on BTL in 2023. Good night, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.